Have you watched The Last Dance, the whole Bulls 97-98 documentary we're watching?
I have not. I'm waiting to binge it. So I'm waiting till it's, and then I'm gonna binge watch it. So.
Okay, well, I won't spoil it for you. A little spoiler alert here. Michael Jordan's fairly competitive, is one of the teams.
We've been talking about it as a coaching staff, so the guys have been watching it, and we've been actually showing a bunch of clips and doing different things. And there was a real cool one on leadership yesterday that I saw on Twitter. It was pretty neat. So I saved
that. Oh, good.
Passed it along to our coaches. Yeah.
Well, I started out the show by throwing out to Justin and Anthony, if there is an NHL comparable to Michael Jordan, who could it be? The fierceness and competitiveness, the elevating his teammates, the win at all costs, dedicate himself completely to the game. You know, if you had to single out a player, is there a player in your time, whether when you played or whether now as you coach, that you could identify as that guy?
There's some, obviously some great ones along the way. But in terms of the work ethic, I think I heard somebody say Sidney, and you know, Sidney's probably about as close as you're going to get, except he's not as confrontational as Michael Jordan was, it seems like, just by hearing what all the guys talking about. But Sid's work ethic is the hardest. The teammates have no choice but to follow. Our practices are unbelievably fast. Like when we get new guys in, they're not used to practicing at that pace, and it takes them about a month, 3 weeks to a month to catch up to that pace. And Sid leads the way every day. And after practice, he tries to get better at something every day. And, you know, it's almost like lead by example. And guys, you got to, you know, stick with me and follow along and do the things I'm doing, and we're going to get there.
See, there you go, Justin. It wasn't a lazy answer. Nah. It was the right answer.
Fair enough. I'll give you the W there, David.
Justin, why don't you start it out with Mark Recchi?
I actually think that's a nice little segue to talk about leadership and what you've seen over your years. You've seen so many teams and been a part of so many teams that have had success. I imagine there's not one formula that you believe it takes to be successful in the NHL. So maybe you could tell us some of the differences or different ways that teams can go about finding success in your experience over your years in the NHL.
Yeah, there's definitely different ways, but at the end of the day, you know, it's a complete buy-in by, you know, 23 guys really, or sometimes more. And you know, that if you don't have that, then you're not going to be as successful as you want to be. That's the common denominator for me. And on the teams that I've been successful with, and the teams that aren't as successful, and you can have three or four guys that aren't bought in. And if if they don't buy in, then eventually it squeaks to about five or six guys, six or seven guys, and then they're not quite bought in. If you have a couple guys, you can eventually get those guys into your corner and into the right, you know, that they have no choice but to follow and be part of, to buy into what the program's being sold. And to me, that's one of the biggest things and I've seen over the years. And that really hasn't changed. Leaders on the team handle it differently. Some guys are more positive, they get through positive. Some guys are a little bit more negative, pushing. You get different ways of doing things. Like I played with Brian Trotcha. He was an extremely positive person. He'd pump you up. He'd find a way to talk to you in a real positive way. It was just something that, you know, you learned. And I kind of took that where, you know, there was always some harder guys that were harder on you, and then there was the guys that just found a way to get the most out of you. And you know, I kind of learned through a lot of the great guys and had a lot of, you know, fun learning from them and you know, then trying to take it to the next step with younger players as well.
Stewie,
did you have a welcome to the NHL moment, especially your first couple of years in Pittsburgh playing with players like Kevin Stevens, Mario Lemieux, and Paul Coffey?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, the first day I stepped in, we're doing a testing, and there's Mario Lemieux, and it's like crazy. And then, you know, like I said, and then when I grew up with Kevin Stevens in the minors. We played together in the minors a little bit, and then, you know, you just all of a sudden you come up and you're part of something pretty special. And when you have these elite talents, I mean, I watched Coffey play in the Stanley Cup Finals, those 4 years against the Islanders and what they went through and talking to him about it and just those those moments right there were pretty special. And then Brian Trotsch is my idol, and then he joins the, you know, he joins the team, you know, in 90 and 91, and I get to sit between him and Joey Mullen, and you're sitting there going, how the heck did this just happen? So, you know, players that I really, really grew up and admired, and there I am sitting beside him.
We're talking with Mark Recchi, the Hall of Famer. Mark, it's pretty crazy, though. I mean, you're a Hall of Famer in your own right, but you also had, you know, an incredible opportunity. Mario, you mentioned Mullen and Stevens, and then you go to the Flyers, and you have Lindros and LeClaire, and LeClaire was there when you were there, right?
Eventually, the second time.
And then, you know, Patrick Waugh in Montreal, et cetera, Chara, Bergeron in Boston. Do you look back and sort of say, you know, blessed to play with these guys, and also you were part of their success as well? Do you sort of feel good that you were able to help elevate their games as well?
I'm not quite sure I could help elevate their game. it was awesome to play with them, though. Like, they were, and you know, again, they're all wonderful people, and they're great guys and great teammates. And, you know, it was just so much fun to be part of that with those guys. They were so easy to play with and such great teammates that, you know, you obviously pushed each other and you tried to push each other. And, you know, we had lots of moments on the bench where you're trying to challenge each other and trying to get better and arguing with each other. And then, you know, you're having a beer after the game like nothing even happened. So those are the best times, really, for me.
Justin.
Mark, we crossed paths very briefly in the American Hockey League when you spent a little time there in Wilkes-Barre. I was with the Marlies, and I was just wondering what it was like for you spending time around the minor leagues, being someone that had such a long NHL career, so much success in the NHL. Is it weird being in those arenas around players at that stage of the development? And if so, what did you learn during your time there?
Patience, I learned.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you have to be patient with players, and you have to really, you know, communication skills have to be really good, especially nowadays with the players. It's a little different than when we grew up playing and when I grew up playing, and, you know, we just got told what to do. But now, you know, players want answers and you have to give them to them. And it's great. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was such a great experience. You know, being into player development and really working with these guys and seeing their, you know, how eager they were and how excited they were to get better and just be part of something like that was a lot of fun for me. I really, I'm thankful I did it. And then it just takes me to the next step. So.
Go ahead, Stewie.
Mark, you played for Ken Hitchcock, the junior coach in Kamloops. And Ken Hitchcock, the NHL coach. Was there any differences between the two?
No, none at all. It's Hitch is a very demanding coach, I had experience with him, and you know, I used to always tell the players, especially at the NHL level, like, you know, he barks a lot. Just listen to the message, find the message, and then just like forget the rest. Like, you know, he's a tremendous coach. He knew the game very well, was a great bench coach, and, you know, knew the game, some guys couldn't handle the barking, and, you know, they couldn't handle it constantly. And, you know, I'd had them, and, you know, I tried to, you know, help that message where if you just listen, there's a message in there somewhere, figure it out, and then just go on, move on, and just go play.
Do you think there's less of an appetite, though, to be barked at? You talked about having to explain to the younger players. You can't just say, do this. You have to say, do this because. And you have kids. You understand what this is like. Do you think coaches have to adjust it and the Mike Keenan, you know, Ken Hitchcock style maybe are an antiquated style for this today's player in today's game?
Yeah, I think it's definitely, a different era now in that. Like, I don't think players respond well to it. Like we did and when we grew up with, you know, I think they need to be talked to. Yeah, they can get barked at once in a while, but, you know, I think that if you do it over and over and over, I think the message gets, you know, really, it gets worn out, and I think the guys just get tired of it. And I just, a lot of guys don't respond. They don't have it growing up like we did, and so it's definitely a different time, and you have to communicate. Communication's so big now. And, you know, you have to be, you know, you have to show the players that you're willing to go 50-50 with them, and you're going to work with them, and you're going to tell them, you're going to be honest with them, but you're going to tell them what it is. And that's, you know, it's definitely, you know, something where you really have to be patient. And sometimes it definitely tests your patience sometimes.
In discussion with Mark Recchi. Go ahead, Justin.
So going through all that, that's such an interesting dynamic to try to figure out how to approach younger players today and how to get your message to them. When you look back at your own career, was there a coach that you look at that career and say, my career would not have been as good if I didn't have that coach? And if so, what did that coach do to help you?
Well, I had a couple. Like, obviously, Ken Hitchcock was very great, but I had a coach in minor hockey, Don Morris, who had a short stint. He was a first-round draft pick, but he ended up coming back to my hometown in Kamloops, and he had a big impact on me, and he was more like today's coaches are, where you really had to communicate, you really had to do positive, and, you know, like, you know, find ways to get players better. And that, to me, you know, his name was Don Morris, and he had a great influence on me as a young kid. And then, you know, obviously I had some incredible coaches throughout my career. I had a lot of them, and you know, I was very fortunate. And Badger Bob was probably, you know, he was probably ahead of the game as well. And you know, I had him early in my career here, so it was pretty tremendous with him.
Stewie.
You played with Craig Berube for a little bit there. Just how tough was he as a player? And did you see him at the time possibly being an NHL head coach down the line?
I absolutely saw that. He was going to be a coach at some point. Him and I used to spend a ton of time together after games and dissecting the game, talking about the game, you know, and he was a good player, and, you know, toughness, he was scary tough. He knew how to do it right as well. Like, obviously he could fight tough guys, but he also was hard on the other team's top players. And I think that made a big difference. And he was able to, because he could actually play. He was a pretty decent player. But his hockey sense was really good. And he's just carried that over to coaching, and he did a heck of a job in Philly, and things happen. And your second time around, he's doing a tremendous job in St. Louis, obviously.
Mark, you're a co-owner of the Kamloops Blazers. How involved are you there?
I'm involved, but not. You know, the GM keeps us involved. He keeps us in tune. What's going on? Don Moore's again the same guy. He's the president, so. I'm pretty aware of what's going on, and, you know, when trades are being made, they usually, you know, they don't, you know, they just kind of let us know that they're doing stuff like that and what's going on. We try to get on a call as an ownership once every month, once every couple months, just to get updated from the GM, the coach, and everything, just to stay, just so we're all kind of aware of what's going on.
That's great. I was curious as well, you've been coaching now for a number of years, and you played for a lot of years, about the evolution of the use of video. Sometimes we see, you know, Crosby with an iPad on the bench, and I know as coaches the utilization of that has totally changed. Can you tell us about how it's changed since when you were a player to where it's at now?
Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't really have the first few years in the league. We had Bob Johnson push pucks around on a rink he built on the floor, so with tape. So that was how we worked on our systems there. So, now we got the iPads, and we try and limit it. I try and limit it as much as we can for the guys. Sometimes it can be a little bit of a distraction for the guys. They're always looking at the iPad. What did I do wrong? It's basically for my use and Jacques Martin's use and Sergei Gonchar. It's for our use. We want to look at things during the play, maybe at the power play, the penalty kill. We want to look at what they're doing, maybe the breakouts. We might look at their breakouts to see if we need to change our forecheck. So there's little things that go on during the course of the game that I'll look at for the most part with that. And then, you know, Jacques handles the D down the other end. And then, you know, I'll coordinate with Coach Sullivan. And then if there's something the player needs to see and I need to show him, then it's just right there for me, and I show him. So, but, you know, I, I'm, I'm lucky I got six kids, so you know, they help me with all this tech stuff, or else I'd be in trouble. Because when I when I finished playing and when I first started coaching, I wasn't great at it. So
six.
I want to ask, how was your time in Atlanta? I played there one season. I had a blast, you know, living downtown. The crowds weren't as great, but how would you classify your time in Atlanta playing for the Thrashers?
I actually loved it. They had a great setup there. It was unfortunate that, like you said, there wasn't as many people in the building as you'd like, but I thought it was a terrific setup for a hockey NHL hockey team. You know, the practice facility was tremendous. The arena was nice. It was a good setup. You know, they treated us really well. We got treated, really well. So I really enjoyed my time down there.
You had the opportunity, Mark, to celebrate cups in three different decades, three different teams. What was the best celebration? Just the straight party afterwards. What was the best?
Well, 91 was probably the best. You know, that went on because, you know, you had the cup for, you know, the cup just stayed here. And, you know, we were able to do whatever we want with it. Now it's a little different. But, you know, 91 was great. Obviously, you know, you hear the stories of in the Mario's pool and, you know, guys going and, you know, going for days straight, just having a blast and loving it. And, you know, there was no cameras, there's no phones, there was no anything. So, you know, you could really have a good time, with it and with your teammates.
Mark, tell us a little bit about having six kids and being in the hockey life. I'm the son of a former NHLer, and I was actually writing a story for Sportsnet today about some experiences I had in the dressing rooms as a five-year-old. What's it like having all those kids and being around NHL rinks for the bulk of their life, I imagine?
Yeah, no, it's been tremendous. I got my 19-year-old, he's playing juniors, and he just got drafted by Muskegon in the USHL. He played in the NHL last year, so... I got a 7-year-old as well. I'm just starting the process all over again. And so I've only had two that played hockey, but you know, all of them have been around it and they all love it. And they all still love coming to games. They love, they love going down there, going in the family room and seeing everybody and eating all the food and everything. So it's been actually really, really fun. It's something that keeps us, it's a special bond when you have that. And, you know, it just makes you feel like a real big family, when you're with an organization like that. And they embrace the families, which is awesome.
We got a couple more minutes with Mark Recchi, the Hall of Famer. Go ahead, Stewie.
Well, you mentioned you got the big family, and the only thing being more busy than being an assistant coach is a head coach. Do you have any aspirations of being a head coach one day?
Yeah, I think I'd like to. Right now I'm learning a ton from, Mike Sullivan and Jacques Martin. I mean, they're two guys that, they've been around this game for a long time, coaching for a long time. Jacques' done everything, management to coaching, and it's been great, great experience for me learning from them. But I definitely, at some point here, I'd like to, take that next step. And, we'll see what happens. And, until that time, I'm just going to keep learning from two of the best in the league right now. And it's been a lot of fun. And they're great to work with. Sully's he's a tremendous coach. And he's just been, he's just really helped me a lot. And learn and listen and how he adapts to, every game in between periods and, how he manages the bench. It's pretty neat.
I have one final question for Mark Recchi. And, Mark, you did the ultimate mic drop. You have this 21-year career. You leave on the ultimate high note. Minutes after you win your final cup with the Bruins in 2011, you're doing an on-ice interview with Ron McLean where you announce, that's it, I'm done, I'm retiring. What do you remember about that moment and probably, I imagine, some mixed emotions looking at your career and saying this would be the goodbye?
Yeah, it was always hard, we know that was it, but thankfully it went out on top and, was able to win and that France, helped the Bruins win after 39 years, was pretty special. But I had known that the night before, obviously I grabbed Sean Thornton and we had a couple glasses of wine, up in my room, overlooking the bay and Pacific Ocean there. It was gorgeous. And I told him that this was going to be it, and he was a real good friend. And, just going to kind of wanted to enjoy that last night as a player, and then to go out there on the ice and, you know, it was, you know, I knew it was done, and, you know, it was just no better way to go out than on top like that, you know, and on top of it, it was in British Columbia, where I obviously was born and raised, and in not far from there in Kamloops, and, you know, it was just a great moment.